I said to you earlier that we were going to look into Hezekiah and the account that he faced, which the advice that he gives as we think about the situation in which we find ourselves. And so if you've got a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to look at Hezekiah's prayer. But whilst we're doing that, we're going to look at the circumstances that brought that about. We're going to look at the situation that Hezekiah was facing, and we're going to try and get some advice from Hezekiah to help us in this time of great challenge and great need. It's one of the dangers that could happen in a time like this is we could lose hope and we could lose faith. But we could turn away from the only source and the only hope that we have, because governments have proven that they can't halt the onward march of this virus. But before we read from God's word, we're going to read 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 to 19. Let's bow together for prayer and let's pray. Father, we pray for your help. We pray for your grace, that you'll enter every home right now, Lord, that you'll give us silence, that you'll give us stillness, that you'll give an awareness of your presence. And we ask, Lord, that you'll help in a very clear and a very definite way for the speaking and for the listening. We pray too, Lord, for the internet connection. We ask, Lord, that it will work better this week than it has in the past weeks. We know that the internet has been overloaded right around the world with this onslaught of the need for this kind of way to do church. We ask your help now to cover us neath your precious blood. Speak to us by your Spirit. Minister to us by your grace. Help speaker and hearer alike. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 to 19. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. We're truly living in unprecedented days. We never thought that when we first heard of the coronavirus that it would spread so rapidly and so widely and so quickly into every corner of the world. It's spread and infectiousness is breathtaking. Just a few weeks ago, someone said to me that the coronavirus was similar to the Second World War. And then they contacted me again and said, no, this is far, far worse. And we discussed the various reasons as to why it is far, far worse. It's indiscriminate. Yet it hits the more vulnerable most. It's invisible, yet its fear is felt universally. It's silent, yet its voice is heard universally. It's irrational, turning our nearest and dearest loved ones into potential enemies. What I mean by that is if they catch the virus, they pass it on. It's infectious. It's indiscriminate. It's irrational. It is so minute that special microscopic tools are needed to view it. Yet it has beaten every effort of every government in the world to halt its march. Now I'm sure, like me, many of you were moved when we heard of the response to the public call to come out and show appreciation for the staff of the NHS for their heroic efforts in the fight against this invisible enemy. And might I add, they deserve every bit of it. They are putting their lives on the line for our well-being. We look to the Prime Minister to calm our fears. We depend on the NHS for our healing. We look to the Chancellor of the Exchequer to allay our worries over our finances. We listen to the CMO and the Chief Scientific Advisor for direction. But there's not been one single voice or one significant spiritual representative who have pleaded with the government to call a national day of prayer. We have experts from epidemiology, we have medicine, statisticians, scientific experts, and psychologists on the screens every time we turn on our TVs, all giving advice and giving direction as to how to deal with this terrible pestilence. We are faced with the greatest threat to our public health in our generation. Yes, the government has ordered us to, as far as possible, to self-isolate, remain at home. Don't go out except it is essential. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Keep great distance between you and the next person. And whilst taking government advice, what may God's people do at this time? Where do we turn? Who should we turn to? What can we do when we are asked the many questions relating to this pandemic? What answers can we give? How should we react? You may not be able to do everything, but you can do something. Do what you can, where you can, when you can. And that's what I want to explore through this situation that arose in the life of Hezekiah and the people of Judah. We may gain some very valuable guidance, some encouragement and advice from him as we face what are extremely difficult days. Advice that may make the difference between your spiritual survival or not. I want you to survey with me, and if you've got your Bibles, please keep them open on your knee at home and share with the person that's beside you. Notice Hezekiah's predicament. We'll find it in verse 19 of chapter 19. Now therefore, O Lord, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou alone. Hezekiah wasn't facing the coronavirus, COVID-19. What he was facing was every bit as bad and every bit as dangerous. Their very way of life was facing extinction. Every emotion and every concern that we have at this time, he was experiencing in his time. And his people were experiencing it as well. There was this perilous threat. This was a time of national crises. King Sennacherib of Assyria was threatening Hezekiah with total captivity. A number of exchanges had occurred between them before now. They already had Assyria had already invaded the land, and they were already bleeding the land dry. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. You'll find some of the details there. Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. They'd already invaded them. And if you read down, which we are not going to do today for the sake of time, but if you read through 2 Kings chapter 18 and into 2 Kings chapter 19, you'll see the various things that had happened, how that they were exacting taxes and bleeding their country of the resources and had taken many of the towns and cities captive. Now they're threatening to invade their beloved city, Jerusalem. Now many of you will know from our Bible studies what Jerusalem meant to the Jews and to the people of God. It was the hub, it was the center of worship and praise. It was a place of nurture, nurturing their loved ones, protection. It was a place of community and security. The one place that was sacred. Now Sennacherib is threatening to invade it as well. Sennacherib was very strategic in this latest stage in the war. He used psychological warfare. If you go into 2 Kings chapter 18, you'll see some of the things that he did. He even set up his top team, verses 17 to 19, to deliver his message. And he was using psychological warfare, knowing that if he can beat the people in their hearts and in their minds, then you'll win the war before ever a shot is fired. There was a personal attack, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 22. Notice what it says there in verse 22. It says this: "If you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places, whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away?" You know what he was saying? He was saying, "Hezekiah, did you make the right move? Did you make the right choice to follow God, to trust in him?" There are many perhaps whose hearts are failing today, wondering, where is God in all of this? There was this personal attack on his personal faith with his personal God. There was a populist attack, verse 29 of chapter 18. Thus saith again, "Let not Hezekiah deceive you." Now Sennacherib's trying to drive a division, a wedge between Hezekiah and his people. And that's what situations like we're facing today. The enemy comes, the enemy, the world, the flesh and the devil, they seek to bring a wedge between us and God. And there was a primary attack, verse 35 of chapter 18 of 2 Kings. "Your God is no different than any other gods. All the other gods fail." I'm not going to spend too much time. I'm sure you'll have had many of the questions that I've presented to you. But I urge you to consider something. In the midst of the current crisis we are facing, whilst we have lost our civil liberties and our way of life as we have known it for the time being, don't let fear or fatalism rule or ruin your life. Don't let the enemy of faith invade your life and steal your trust and confidence in God. Don't let the virus of unbelief and despair infect your assurance in our great God. Don't let the panic and the patterns of the world carry you away in the floods of despair and worry. Don't let the circumstances of the situation dominate your heart and mind. Early this morning, as I was preparing for this message, the Lord laid upon me, my heart, a verse this in the scriptures four times. I chose the one from Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." There will be a battle going on in the mind of God's people. And I'm saying God's people primarily at this point in time. The battle as to why God has allowed this. Does God really love us? Does he really care? My dear friends, we will see later on, perhaps this evening, as to what God is really doing in our day and in our generation. But I want you to know that the battle is in the mind at a time like this. Yes, we have lost our civil liberties. We are confined to barracks, as it were. Down south, they're not allowed to travel any more than 2 kilometers from their home. And people over 70 are not allowed outside the door. So that's martial law, isn't it? But don't lose your freedom and liberty in Christ. Even though you are at home, don't let the enemy of your heart and your faith and your walk with God, don't let him rob you of your faith and trust in the all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-hearing God. The battle's in the mind. Keep your mind focused. Stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as we promised, perfect peace and rest. Don't let the questions that are in your mind rob you of that confidence in God. In fact, Jesus goes on to say that even if this coronavirus does take us, It can't take our faith. Because he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, do not fear that or those that can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. May I digress for a wee moment? Here's what I believe is really happening. Because God never wastes our situations. God never wastes our circumstances. Our disappointments are his appointments. That's something that you all know very well. But I want you to look across the world. Every idol that man has built up has been slain and is laying flat in the ruins of misery and failure. The idols of sport, the idols of leisure, the idols of pleasure, the idols of wealth, the idols of learning and intellect, dethroned and dormant, unable to quell or calm the failing hearts of men. You see, men and women, we built around our lives things when all the while we've deserted God. We've wrapped ourselves in the wrappings and the trappings of the ways of the world. And now it's been torn away, and God is using our circumstances to speak to us. The devil could easily take it and drive us further away from God. Can I encourage you not to allow how you feel, what you feel, what you see, or what you hear to drag you away from the one who loves you with an everlasting love? Many of you will know what a defibrillator is. I really don't, but I have a kind of an idea. When the heart goes into arrest, what does arrest mean? I'm not really sure. All I know is this. It's not working as it should. The doctor or nurse will use this device to shock it back to life and to proper working order again. I believe that the Lord is using the circumstances to at least waken us up to all these things that have failed and have fallen flat on their faces and turn to him again. So I want you to think about these perilous threats. The real threat, someone sent me a little clip of a video on WhatsApp the other day, and it was John MacArthur. John MacArthur said, you know, the worst that could happen to us is the best that could happen to us. And I know exactly what he was saying. The coronavirus could take your life, but it need not take your faith. And for the child of God is absent from the body and it's present with the Lord. And you can be ushered into the near presence of the Lord. And I know there'll be sadness, and I know that there'll be hearts that'll be broken, and I know that there'll be people questioning, but listen. Nothing, no one can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. No one. Notice, in closing, for this part of the service, as we come back later on at 6:30. Again, I appreciate Gary Nelson coming in and doing the technical details. And he's about a half a mile away from me up there in the pulpit. And he's still awake. Notice the pre-order tactics. You see, Hezekiah took this threat seriously. And there's a parallel passage. And if you'll turn with me, please, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 2 to 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 2 to 8. Because not only had the enemy tactics, but Hezekiah had his tactics. They're not recorded in 2 Kings 19, but they're recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 2 to 8. Let me read these tactics. Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and intended to fight against Jerusalem. He planned with his officers and his mighty men to stop the water of the springs that were outside the city, and they helped him. A great many people were gathered, and they stopped all the springs and the brook that flowed through the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" He set to work resolutely and built up the wall that was broken down and raised towers upon it. And outside it he built another wall, and he strengthened the millow. Now I had to do a wee bit of investigation to see what the millow was. The millow was terraces, a second wall. So they built up a double protection in the city of David. He also made weapons and shields in abundance. And he set combat commanders over the people and gathered them together to him in the square of the gate of the city and spoke encouragingly to them. Be strong and courageous, he said. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. For there are more that are with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hezekiah could not do everything, but he did what he could. And we have just read the various things that he had ordered his people to do. In the face of the enemy's insults, the face of the enemy's lies, and the face that the people have said nothing. I love this. They said nothing. That's all that they were asked to do. Don't reply. Folks, as I apply this, I have a motto going around and around in my head since this virus broke out. When I'm out doing a little errand and I see someone at a distance, or I was out mowing the lawn the other day and someone walked past, actually it was David, walked past and we shouted over at each other. And or when I'm communicating to someone on the phone or communicating via email, I have a four-phrase statement. Stay safe, stay strong, stay serving, and stay sacred. Do what you can, when you can, where you can, whatever way you can, so long as it's safely. Let me emphasize those four little statements to you. Stay safe. This is a very practical thing. Stay safe. Take every possible action to keep yourself safe. Obey the rules that the government have laid out. Protect yourself. Protect the NHS. Protect your family. Good advice at the moment. Stay safe. Don't be reckless. Be faithful. Stay strong. Keep your heart up. Don't let the crisis you're facing get you down. Keep in contact with loved ones. Don't listen too much to the news. Too much negativity and very little positivity. Stay strong. Stay serving. Stay serving. Don't retreat into your own little world, completely taken up with the difficulties you are facing. Every one of us are in the same boat. There are some folk without a single person to communicate to them. No family, no friends. In a little message on our website, I used the term, we are a church without walls. Do you know what that means? It means that the church is not the building. The people are the building. We are the body, the building that Jesus said, I will build my church. Where possible and whatever possible, so long as you stay safe, serve others. We are kings and priests unto God. Minister to each other, serve one another, contact one another, encourage one another. Let's not depend on strangers to bring comfort to one another, but let's be those hands and feet where possible and where safe to bring the ministry and to minister to people. Let's serve our community well. Let's our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If there is an individual who's vulnerable and there's no family and they need groceries collected, you can serve them by collecting them. And the government even says to bring a person where safe to an appointment. And the fourth little thing was stay sacred. Don't forget to feed your soul. I've been listening to the media and they're saying that box sets are on the up and up and people are buying complete and full box sets. And maybe some of you don't know what that is. You can buy a full season of particular programs and you can vegetate in your bedroom and listen to them. New games are being developed and devised. And don't forget to feed your soul. We can't say we don't have time anymore. We've got lots of time on our hand for those of us or those who are isolated at home. Drag yourself away from those digital devices, the social media. And set up a time between you and God with your family. Gather them around your knee. Read God's word. Pray with them. Encourage them. Heaven knows we need to redress the situation. Tonight, we're going to look at two other aspects of this. We've only really got into the message, Hezekiah's predicament. The wonderful thing about Hezekiah is, and some may disagree with this, but Hezekiah had a quiet confidence that though the situation looked dire, he reacted in a way that we each one should be reacting as we face this situation. So tonight we look at Hezekiah's poise, his character, his attitude. What's your attitude today? Do you see this as an opportunity where God is speaking to your life and giving you an opportunity to come aside and rest a while and be still and know that He is God? Or do you see it as an interruption to life as you would like it? I was moaning and groaning a wee bit last week, or maybe the beginning of the week before, when we were beginning to feel the dampness put upon us for our liberty and our freedom to travel. And I said, Lord, I would love to see things back to normal. And God checked me there, right there and then. Do you, Trevor Galanders, this is what I felt impressed upon my heart, I don't hear voices. Do you, Trevor Galanders, want everything back to normal? I began to think of it. The church, God's people, are having an opportunity to serve as God intended it, to be the body of Christ. We're having time to come apart from the busyness and the frenzy of the world, to be still and know that He is God. Take your opportunity. Take your opportunity. It's an opportunity for the unsaved to realize that pestilence after pestilence after pestilence has been encroaching and increasing, and their number are increasing day after day. God speaking, not in judgment, but He's warning the people that judgment is coming. Christ is at the door. So do you feel a little bit put out today? God's seeing this as an opportunity to come to Him. And then we look very, very briefly, not only at Hezekiah's poise. Tonight we look at Hezekiah's plea. Let's bow together as we bring our gathering around God's word to close. Father, thank you for lessons that we learn from Hezekiah. We pray, dear God, that you'll minister to our hearts from your truth. Although their voices are silent, Lord, around the world calling on national days of prayer, we are calling on our God today to fulfill His purposes for mankind. Bring revival, Lord. Bring salvation to hearts and lives, we pray. And grant that your peace and your power will be felt in every life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've just one final thing to say, and that is that I got a little note last night to say that it was Billy and Sandra Lyle's 53rd wedding anniversary. And can I say congratulations to you, Billy, and to you, Sandra. God bless you. See you this evening at 6:30. And may God be with us in these days. And may we serve Him with a full and a glad heart. Every blessing. Goodbye.